This afternoon we open the Word of God in the New Testament, in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22, the verses 39 to 46, and from the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1, the verses 3 through 14. So first of all, Luke 22, verse 39 to 46. Luke 22, verse 39, this is the word of God. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Arise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Then we turn to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, page 1791. Page 1791, Ephesians chapter 1. Starting at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." Then on these scripture passages and on the Word of God is based also our confession in Lord's Day 49 on page 61 in the back of our Blue Psalter hymnal. Page 61, Lord's Day 49. So the text for the sermon of this afternoon we find in the third petition. And what we confess regarding it, echoing God's word as follows. What does the third request mean? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven means help us and all men to reject our own wills and to obey your will without any backtalk. Your will alone is good. Help everyone carry out the work he is called to as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. That's Lord's Day 49. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is remarkable, brothers and sisters, how often during a week you can be confronted with questions about the will of God. In the week in which I prepared this sermon, I was engaged in the study of God's Word regarding transgenderism and the believer's response against the background also of today's gay culture and agenda. In a meeting of the ARPA Canada board, we spoke about the use of scripture and confessions in the pursuit of political action according to the will of God, addressing particularly the freedom of conscience and conscientious objectors. With my teacher's son, principal in Winnipeg, a question came up about a Christian lifestyle and what the will of God is concerning tattoos, sexy dress, or respect for the teachers, to mention a few issues. All this in 1 week, and we see the relevance of this afternoon's Lord's Day in the third petition. We are living, beloved, in a time of individualism and independentism in which everyone does what is good in their own eyes. I think, or I feel, but I want are more acceptable than thus says the Lord, or this is what God's Word teaches us. Everyone should be free to be himself and to do what he himself wants. Whether that is pertaining to gays or to the church or to lifestyle, as long as it is done prayerfully, it should be all right. Or so they say. We're all free to do as we please, and that's none of your business. We're living in a country, too, where everything goes and is permitted. Permissiveness in the church, too, should be considered a right of Christian freedom, or so certain people reason. Don't preach, don't indoctrinate, don't pontificate. Norms and values are relatives. Times are different nowadays, you know. People should be left free to live as they please, even when it is something that destroys a person, like drugs, drinking, or gambling. They want to make up their own mind and be their own boss. And here we are, listening to the third petition, "Your will be done." When we seek to deal with this petition, brothers and sisters, and we use the Heidelberg Catechism as a handle, a guide, we stay close to what our children have to learn about this point in Christ's prayer instruction. Well, then, our children and we learn something totally different from what the spirit of the age tells us or today's freedom permits us. The Lord Jesus, who showed us regarding the second petition how we distinguish between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, or the kingdom of God as life-giving and the kingdom of the devil as causing death, now reminds us again that we are delivered from the power of the devil. In the kingdom of God, true life is experienced when we also pray, "Your will be done." And we receive the freedom of the children of God who live according to all the commandments of God. Help us to live as you want, Father, for that's how true life and freedom are restored. That's a prayer for childlike obedience, while at the same time we put our own will aside. Father's will is good. And so we pray this petition in childlike obedience too, and not to do what I want or how I feel. That's what we hear and learn. Christ teaches us to pray for obedience to the Father's will. We pray for childlike obedience. We pray in childlike obedience. So I summarize the message of this afternoon as follows. Christ teaches us to pray for obedience to the Father's will. We pray for childlike obedience. We pray in childlike obedience. So first, for childlike obedience. When we read in the scriptures, brothers and sisters, about the will of God, we can distinguish between the will of God with our life, that is God's plan, God's counsel, his purpose and will, and the will of God for our life, that is God's commands. When speaking about this with catechism students, I always used Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, and we learn to distinguish between God's secret counsel and will and God's revealed will. As we read in Deuteronomy 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. God's secret will is what he does, how he leads our life, or this world, or the history of the world. And God's revealed will teaches us what we should do. Evidently, this afternoon we consider God's revealed will, God's will for our life as his children in his kingdom. Now, of course, you realize that even though we can distinguish between God's secret will and his revealed will, you cannot separate the two. God is one. Or God is simple, as we confess in Belgian Confession Article 1. That is, he is a God of one piece, not contradictory. And his will is one too. In his plan and purpose, as well as in his decrees and commands, the Lord has only one aim, his honor and glory. We see that in the first as well as in the second petition, the Lord wants to be praised and glorified in everything. That's what he created us for, and that's where all history leads to in order to reach that goal, his honor, his glory. Now, it will be clear, brothers and sisters, that with regard to God's secret will, he will undoubtedly reach that goal. He will receive honor and glory eventually and eternally. When heaven and earth are united, and all knees will bow before him, and everything that has breath will praise him perfectly, then the innumerable crowd will meet this goal perfectly and eternally. With regard to his revealed will, however, the aim may be the same, yet the reality and present situation is not as obvious and certain. we sure have to pray, "Your will be done." For man to do so and honor and glorify God in a life of obedience. Yet that is the goal of the petition for obedience, that God would be honored in the lives of his people. That's what he wanted in paradise already. He placed there the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil so that man would have life and have it in obedience to God. The Lord said, "The day you eat of that tree, you will surely die." But he did so with the intention that man would listen and obey and live. Adam and Eve had to choose for life. And by their obedience to the paradise command, they would do so. Submitting obediently under God's will, which he so clearly revealed to them. You know, my catechism students, beloved, often wanted to imagine and speculate on what the world and this life would have been like if and when Adam and Eve had obeyed. Of course, then there would have been an innumerable crowd as well, children of Adam who would all obey the Lord. Then the earth would have been full of joy and feasting in the Lord always. And mankind would have continued to walk with God and have communion with God. Literally, that would be heaven on earth, literally. And eternal praise and obedience from man. Adam, however, did not obey God's word, but deliberately gave in to the devil's manipulation and distortion of the truth. He made man believe, "Act as you please. Make up your own life and forget about the command of the Lord. All he is concerned about is his own position anyway. Act as you please." And indeed, beloved, that's how death came into the world, and that's still today how the devil gets his way in people's lives. Yes, death appeared in many, many ways. Illness, war, violence, disasters, you name it. Paradise was gone, and the earth became one large hospital, battlefield, and cemetery. Instead of heaven on earth, hell on earth was more like it. God was out of it, away from it. And that is still the case whenever man acts as he pleases. For the Lord is far from sin and evil. He told man beforehand already, "When you live as you please and no longer listen to me, heeding my command, you make life impossible." In other words, when you say, "I can decide myself how I live," you essentially say, "I will decide myself how I die." That's ultimately the result and effect of people who want to be their own boss and mind their own business. You see that clearly in the situation of drug addicts. But it is true just the same with people who destroy themselves and their life by keeping God away from it through their disobedience. Only by faith in God and in God's word, and in obedience according to his will, is life. Outside of it is death. And of course, beloved, the devil won't portray it that way. He presents death in an attractive package. Choose yourself how you want to live. Make up your own style, fashion, norms, and values, for that is freedom. In essence, however, it means choose against God and against his will, then you choose for death. And know that the devil doesn't mind what form of death that will be. Choose your own way of dying, that is, whether by drugs, murder, euthanasia, or wealth, boredom, and hedonism. That's the freedom of the kingdom of the devil. Exaggeration? No. Fulfillment of scriptural prophecy, where we read in Revelation 9, verse 6, I quote, "During those days," that is, these last days, "men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them." That's also when they will cry to the mountains, "Fall upon us," and to the hills, "Cover us." That's where this world will end up when it continues to do its own will and continues to act as they please, claiming a freedom that is false. In the midst of such a world, beloved, we are here in church, and we hear Christ's teaching of the Lord's Prayer with the petition, "Father, your will be done." Well, then we should realize fully that we need the Father's help as much as we can. Oh, sure, we know his word, his revealed will, and his law, and we have the apostles and prophets, and it all makes it abundantly clear to us what God's will is. But yet, in our own hearts, there is the same inclination. That shows already when you see the response to the preaching and the way of listening and the inclination of seeking to escape God's will with all sorts of motives, reasons, and excuses. Yes, and we also are people of our time who inhale the spirit of the age. Whether you want to admit it or not, but we are tied with 1,000 strings to our world, our culture, our society, and to the freedom of our land. So no wonder we also speak the language of this world, saying, "Yeah, but I think," or, "Yeah, but I feel, and I believe that I can serve the Lord this way as well. I even prayed about it." Yeah, sure. But meanwhile, we do our own will, follow our own heart, and pursue our own convenience because we find that it should be fine that way. We choose the church where we worship and feel at home. We design our own lifestyle, and we have our own opinion about gays and sex before marriage and family planning, etc. Now, the first thing we have to learn from Christ's prayer instruction, beloved, is this. It's not a matter of what we think or feel or find at all. The Lord gives us for our whole life his word, his revealed will, that is, his commands to which we must submit ourselves in childlike obedience. Then even if you know this will and listen to this word, you still will have the greatest difficulty obeying it. With the Apostle Paul, we say then, "What I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I do. Wretched man that I am." In the way of our obedience to the will of God, we won't have life eternally, and we won't show honor and praise perfectly, unless through Jesus Christ. That's why he taught us to pray, "Your will be done." Grant that we may deny our own will, and without murmuring, obey your will, for it alone is good. Father, help us and give it to us, for we won't have it of ourselves. Thus you pray to give up your freedom and the reins of your life completely, giving yourself into the hands of your Heavenly Father. Why? Because you know him as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who did God's will for you. Yes, beloved, Christ taught us by example first, perfectly and completely. How hard that was on him. He was sweating drops of blood when he prayed the same petition in the Garden of Gethsemane. Doing God's will for us means life, but for him it meant death. That's what we should always remember as the heart of the matter of the third petition. He was innocent when he fulfilled God's will for us and in our place, so that God could acquit us while satisfying his justice on him. He died doing God's will, that we might live and desire to do his will. Eternal life and eternal honor and praise are possible only thanks to his obedience. And now we hear him teach us to pray, Father in heaven, your will be done. That makes you small and humble as a child. That's why it is a prayer for childlike obedience. We are only children in wisdom and obedience, and our will is not very compliant to God's will yet. Hence we pray, grant that we may deny our own will and only obey your will. Give it to us, for we cannot do it of ourselves. We don't have it of ourselves, and we don't want it in ourselves quite often. Hence we pray for childlike obedience, for the same faithfulness and willingness to do God's will as the angels in heaven. Your will be done. We also pray this in childlike obedience, as Christ taught us, who came to earth to deliver us from our disobedience. Our second point, we pray in childlike obedience. God wants his honor and glory from our lives, brothers and sisters, and he will accomplish his goal by delivering us from the power of the devil through Christ. Yes, God's glory and honor show in his way of deliverance when he, for Christ's sake, gives life to people who had chosen for death. That's what Paul speaks about in Ephesians 1, where he describes the mystery of God's will, which has been revealed in Jesus Christ. We will have to confess that we chose for death and against God, but already before the creation of the world, God had chosen for us in Christ. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace. Yes, in Christ, for in Christ we have redemption through his blood. That's the blood drops of which he was sweating when he prayed, not my will, but your will be done. It's the blood also that he shed for us to set us free in the glorious freedom of the children of God. When we truly and sincerely wish to be of the same will with the Father, beloved, we will have to be one with Christ indeed. We will have to be one with him in his death and resurrection. Well, in Gethsemane, the Son was fully of one will with the Father. And throughout his life, he had done the will of his Father. When he died also, he showed his one and holy will with the Father. He came through death, in which he could not praise God for 3 days, in order that the graves of God's children would be opened for eternal praise and honor. Yes, then by faith in him, this honor and praise begin here and now. When we share in his death by dying to our disobedience, and in his resurrection, when we rise and learn to pray as Father's obedient children, your will be done. Then you say, Father, no longer do we want to do our own will, but your will, for it alone is good. Give that to me, your child. Give that to us, your congregation. Yes, and then we also pray this for the people outside, beloved, that we and all men may reject his own will. That means that we ask for much more than a bit of freedom of religion, hoping that we may continue to have the liberty to serve God and worship him according to his word. No, we cannot accept today's spirit of the age, in which everyone does what is good in his own eyes. Rather, we pray against our own will as well as against the spirit of the age, and we do not want to remain silent when we hear people reason about what they want or they feel or what they think. Give that we and all men, also Christians who claim unscriptural freedoms for themselves, and believers who claim ungodly permissiveness in their unchristian lifestyle, and church members who make up their own standards for their church choices. Yes, we also pray for the gays, the drug addicts, and the free thinkers of our time, that they all may deny their own will. Even for all people in the world, we pray, who worship false gods and pursue false religions, that they may come to know the only true God and his Son Jesus Christ and his will for their life. We pray for all of them, my brother and sister, because they should not act as they please or live as they mind, for then their life will be hell, a life away from God, and they will end up in hell. Give, Father, that they may come to know your will and do your will and it alone, so that life may return to the earth and your honor and glory may return to mankind on earth. That will be heaven on earth, when the people on earth will be as obedient as your servants in heaven. Amen.